This man was blind to the Savior's works. Throughout the Lord's 3 years, he had done many miracles. I wonder why. If I had been blind, and if you'd been blind at that time, would you have not said, look, I've heard about this man called Jesus. He can do miracles. He has even been known to heal blind people like Bartimaeus and several others that he healed from blindness. What about me? Take me to Jesus.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're bringing you the message today of the blind man made to see from John chapter 9. And I trust that you will be blessed today through the preaching of God's word here on Let the Bible Speak. We have a hymn, Who Can Cheer the Heart Like Jesus? And our question of today has to do with teaching children. This month of February, we've been looking at the whole need to teach boys and girls. We have a generation growing up around us who really, really need the Lord. And one of the works the Lord has given us to do is to reach boys and girls for the Savior. And I trust that you see that need and that you bring your boys and girls to a Sunday school where they will hear the word of the Lord. Now, the specific question I want to deal with today is, what about doctrine for children in Sunday school? Sunday school teaching has been a large part of church ministry for many years. The Bible commands to teach children are many, and the examples also abound. Timothy stands out among the life of Jewish boys and girls who grew up knowing the scriptures. In those times, of course, they had the 39 books of the Old Testament only. Now we have the full 66 books of the Bible. Surely children who are raised under the ministry of the gospel should know their Bibles just as well and better than those who knew the Old Testament scriptures. Our question today is around the issue of teaching doctrine to boys and girls. Some people are of the opinion that that is a form of brainwashing. If this is so, should we then leave our children with empty heads, those who know nothing about the Bible? Or should we just have a Bible reading without any comment, without lessons or conclusions? Well, that would be like the meetings of the Quakers, where they simply sat in silence. Our Lord Jesus was faced with a barrage of opposition about the resurrection. And his response was that you err not knowing the scriptures. He showed that their conclusions were wrong, for they had wrongly interpreted the scriptures, and they had jumped to wrong conclusions. Conclusions come from proper interpretation, and they lead to fixed doctrines. We have the firm truth that the Bible is supernatural. It is the inspired, inerrant word of God. That's doctrine. We have the firm truth that the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. There are many verses we can collate to establish this truth. John chapter 1 verse 1 is one of them that stands out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now shall we not take that truth and apply it to our gospel message and our Christian living? Well, that's a doctrine. And boys and girls need to learn the conclusions of the statements within God's Word. They need to know the doctrines of the Bible. We also have the doctrine of blood atonement. The Bible teaches us clearly, not just in one little text, but throughout the Scriptures, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, that sin can only be purged by the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Not without blood is a biblical doctrine. Sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And we're told that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And so here we have a number of doctrines, truths that are fixed and absolute. Should boys and girls not be given these truths? Should they not be made to comprehend them from the years of learning of godly men and women who have come to the Bible to glean and gather together these things? Yes, it is a great blessing to give to boys and girls doctrine. One of the ways that we can do this is by question and answer. And in our shorter catechism, we have that very thing. For example, who is God? And the children learn the answer to that, that God is infinite. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And so we teach our children this by memory, and they learn these things to know them, as we would say, at the tip of their fingers. And if they come to the question, who is God, or what is God, how do you define God, they can say God is a spirit. And there are Bible-proof texts for every little statement within that answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, in his wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now, that is doctrine, and we endeavor to teach these things to boys and girls. Now, I'm emphasizing these things because we want you to consider bringing your children along to a good, healthy Bible church Sunday school, where they will learn the Bible, where they will learn these question and answers, where they will learn the songs, the choruses, joyfully singing unto the Lord. These are blessings that boys and girls can receive in those early years, which can never be replaced in later years. And so it is vital that parents take their children along to a good, solid Bible Sunday school. Phone the pastor. Ask him, what kind of Sunday school do you have? How is it run? Is it entertainment or teaching? Do you have a good, solid Bible teaching program? That's important. And I assure you, if you are in the area here, that you can bring along your children to our Sunday school, and we'd love to have you as a family. We have classes for all ages. Now we're turning back to our message here today, and we have the hymn, Who Can Cheer the Heart Like Jesus?
By his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious, oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus.
Continue today with Letting the Bible Speak on The Man Who Was Blind But Made to See, John chapter 9. I trust you'll turn in your Bibles today as we let the Bible speak.
Another thing, he was blind, to the Savior's passing. In chapter 9, verse 1, we are told that Jesus passed by and saw a man which was born blind from his birth. He was blind to the Savior's passing. Now, it records that the Lord saw the blind man. It does not say the blind man saw him. Of course not. And of course, this is a true picture of our salvation. We were so blind, we could never see the Lord, but the Lord saw us. And here was the Lord passing by, and the man was blind to it. He didn't even recognize or realize how near the Savior had passed by. He was blind to the Lord Jesus. And the pattern fits for us. In our blind, spiritual blinded state, we were blind to the Lord Jesus passing by us. What a shock it was for me one day when my brother and I were cleaning out an attic in the home where we were born. It's one of these farmhouses that was probably built in the 1700s. And there was stuff in that attic that, well, you wouldn't share with anybody. And we found in that attic religious books, and I can't remember if there was an actual Bible in that attic, but there was another time we were cleaning out a barn and we found a whole box of religious books and Bibles and some sermon-type books, and they were all Christian, they were all gospel. And as we were doing those things, we were blind to the reality that in our family history, Jesus was passing by. There were people, and I don't know if there were our family. My grandfather bought the farm way back in the 1930s somewhere. And I'm not sure if it was him or someone else at that time or prior to that that lived in the house that were interested in these things. But it's evident that Jesus was passing by. And I was blind. No knowledge, no grasp of these things whatsoever. How blind to Jesus passing by. And even when I was a teenager, in 1968, when Dr. Paisley preached in his 1,000-seat tent gospel campaign, when there were hundreds of converts in a small town, there were people on the street reported to be weeping with conviction. And you know, I lived through all of that oblivious, not even aware of what God was doing in the hearts of men that Jesus was passing by. I was blind. Now, I may have told you that I used to hear Dr. Paisley's voice across the fields and the river that echoed on the gable end of our home. But I didn't know a thing of the power of the gospel. And once I was blind, but now I see. And now I take this book and I see the Savior on every page. Is this not your testimony also? This man was blind to the Savior's works. Throughout the Lord's 3 years, he had done many miracles. I wonder why. If I had been blind, and if you'd been blind at that time, would you have not said, look, I've heard about this man called Jesus. He can do miracles. He has even been known to heal blind people like Bartimaeus and several others that he healed from blindness. What about me? Take me to Jesus. We don't read a thing of that. He was blind to the works of the Lord Jesus. And there were lepers galore that were healed from there. Malady and mighty works that the Lord Jesus did. But this man was blind to it all. And of course, we too have been blind to the works of the Lord. And maybe there's someone here today and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, and you are blind to the great works that the Lord Jesus has done, because there's people in this church today, and I include myself, who are the potential of being murderers, thieves, adulterers, and liars fit for hell. And here are mighty miracles of grace. And you're blind to what the Lord means to men and women in this congregation as their Savior. You don't recognize, you don't realize the life-changing power of the gospel unto men. Blind to his works, also blind to his word. I want to point out something here. This man never read a Bible. He never read a Bible in his life. Now, it's possible that someone read the Bible to him, but he was never able to take his Bible, put his finger on it, and said, "This is God's word to me. This is God's promise to me." And of course, there was no Braille Bible. Braille didn't come out until 1821. A French man called Louis Braille, who came up with the idea of a Braille Bible. This man could not read. He could never appreciate the Bible for himself. He could never say, "It is written, and here it is." He was always dependent on someone else to recite the word. And so with us. Once I was blind. To my shame, when I started attending gospel meetings, I didn't know which end of the Bible was up. The preacher would announce the text, and I'd be the last person to find it. But now I can take this Bible, and I see the Lord in every page. Once I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a gospel. What a miracle of salvation that takes a darkened, blind, stupefied sinner because of his sin and brings him to the light of God's own word and his own works. We were also blind to the Savior's warnings. I branch out here and give my own testimony. Living for 18 years in this life blind to the warnings of the Savior, I went to a church where I heard the nice stories. And the minister in the Presbyterian church where I grew up, he used to tell stories about little Johnny. And they always had happy endings. Always had happy ending stories. There was no word of warning. And I was blind. What a world view I had. What a view of God I had. Where God is always just pure love. There was no warning to my soul. And of course, I wasn't seeking any such warnings. Hell was a foreign concept. Well, I remember hearing some street preaching, and you'd get the word hell once in a while. But I just write it off. I was blind to the reality of a place of eternal fire where souls are tormented endlessly. The doctrine of endless punishment. I was oblivious. I was blind to that. But now I see. But now I see. When my eyes were opened to the gospel, the reality of eternity became real. Oh, so real. Heaven and hell were as clear, as black and white, as sunshine by day and the moon by night. Him as vivid, real. The warnings of our Lord Jesus, what did he preach? What was his first sermon? Repent. Repent. Flee from the wrath to come. He talked about sheep and goats, the separation, the righteous that he would take to the right hand as his sheep, the wicked that he would put to the left as the goats. And the judgment day when the Lord would say, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you." Once I was blind, but now I see, blind to the warnings. And my friend here today, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, and you're blind to the warnings of the Lord, there's going to be a wake-up day. You're going to come to realize there is a true heaven and a real hell. And you have been blind to the warnings. Oh, the Lord would open your eyes and make you to see. And that you could say with us, "Once I was blind, but now I see." Blind also to the Savior's welcomes. In verses 6 and 7, in this account, it said, "When he was thus spoken, the Lord spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." Now, you'll notice that it was the Lord Jesus that initiated everything. The Lord didn't wait until the man came to him and said, "Look, can you see that I'm blind? Can you help me?" No, the Lord took the initial act. And who could have believed the approach of the Lord, taking spittle and clay and telling them to go wash? But all of this was the welcoming words and the healing words of the Lord Jesus. So many today are blind to the welcoming nature of the Lord Jesus. To them, the name of the Lord Jesus strikes fear, strikes alarm, it drives them away. They think that the separation between them and a holy God is so impossible. But surely the good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus is the bridge to the great chasm between your soul and a holy God. Surely the name of the Lord Jesus is daysman, mediator, reconciler. That's Him. He's the welcoming Lord Jesus. And as you see Him at the cross of Calvary, is that not the welcome of the heart of God to sinners to believe in the cleansing power of His blood? Welcome, it says. And then go to the empty tomb. What does the empty tomb tell you? That death's sting is gone, and you are invited to believe in the risen Lord Jesus. Oh, how blind we are by nature. How we get things all back to front when we're sinners. But now I see. And of course the Christian, he understands how welcoming the Lord Jesus is. And we lament. What do we lament? That we stayed away so long. That it took us so long to come. But you see, we were blind and now we see. And we understand the welcoming nature of the Lord Jesus. And we all have to testify of how receptive, how receiving the Lord Jesus is, how quick to forgive our sins, how speedy to apply the balm of the gospel to our hurting hearts. And we love to sing, as is, you know, Beulah's favorite hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." How that's an all-time favorite, Joseph Scriven's wonderful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." But you see, once we were blind to that, but now we see. Once, I'm sure as a child growing up, I must have heard or even participated in singing that hymn, but I did not see it. But I can truly testify to any man today in heaven or earth, the friendship, the welcoming, the receiving grace of the Lord Jesus. These are the confessions of a convert. I hope that it is your confession today. Hope that's your conviction. And that you can join in and also say, once I was blind, but now I see. Now there were seven things. That should be enough for any sermon. But that's only point one. Would you give me 3 minutes to wrap this up? There's something else glorious I want to show you here in this whole account. I want you to see that with this man's eyes opened, that the Lord became more and more worthy in his eyes. If you look at verse 11, you will see that he called him Jesus, a man called Jesus. Verse 17, he said he was a prophet. Verse 35, he was worthy to be called the Son of God. And you can see the growing interest and view of Christ he had. A man called Jesus, a prophet. Then he's the Son of God, verse 35. And verse 38, what did he call him? Lord. And then he worshiped him, verse 38. And my friend, that growing, progressive view of Christ ought to be in your heart and mind today. He is not just a man called Jesus. He is not just a prophet. He is the Son of God. And he's my Lord. And I bow the knee to worship him because he is worthy. And the more I see him, the more I experience him, the more I want to worship him. And then he's also worthy of persecution. You'll notice how his parents were very careful how they answered, because there was an edict by these Pharisees, if any man said that Jesus was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Well, this man, he ended up getting turfed out because he did say that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Christ. And he didn't care what the Pharisees or the rulers of the synagogue would do to him. He would be a witness for the Lord Jesus because he was worthy. He was worthy. What does it cost you to be a Christian today? Friends, I don't know, but sometimes there is a cost. And I suppose as we look back over our lives, there have been many who have turned their back on us because we're a Christian, but he's worthy. He's worthy. And the Lord promises that whosoever confesses him before men, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. But if you reject the Lord Jesus before men, it will be the judgment of the Father. Christ will not confess you. You reject him, he rejects you. And so what a wonderful, wonderful testimony in John 9 of this dear man. What a testimony. Once I was blind, now I see.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we appreciate you joining with us here today. Our final text as we let the Bible speak is from Malachi 3, verse 7. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. This is a plea for a new beginning, and we may plead with God, and he has promised that when we return, that means when we give up our waywardness and turn afresh to God, he will turn to us. This is encouragement to pray, encouragement to worship, encouragement to zealously serve the Lord. And I do invite you, exhort you, and plead with you to give your heart to serve the Lord with all your heart today. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. What joy that will be when the Lord comes to thrill our hearts and soul. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.